The clergyman did not remember the ladies quite as clearly as they remembered him, but he came forward pleasantly enough and accepted the chair into which he was beckoned by Lucy.
"I'm so glad to see you," said the girl, who was in a state of spiritual starvation and would have been glad to see the waiter if her cousin had permitted it. "Just fancy how small the world is. Summer Street, too, makes it so specially funny."
Miss Honeychurch lives in the parish of Summer Street," said Miss Bartlett, filling up the gap. "And she happened to tell me in the course of conversation that you've just accepted the living."
"Quite right," said the clergyman. "I move into the rectory at Summer Street next June."
"Oh, how glad I am! The name of our house is Windy Corner."
Mr. B. bowed.
"There is Mother and me, generally, and my brother, though it's not often we get him to the church is rather far off, I mean."
"Lucy, dearest, let Mr. B. eat his dinner."
"I am eating it, thank you, and enjoying it."
He preferred to talk to Lucy, whose playing he remembered, rather than to Miss Bartlett, who probably remembered his sermons. He asked the girl whether she knew Florence well, and was informed that she'd never been there before. It is delightful to advise a newcomer, and he was first in the field.
"Don't neglect the country round," his advice concluded. "The first fine afternoon, drive up to Fiesole, and round by Settignano, or something of that sort."
"No!"
cried a voice from the top of the table.
"Mr. Beebe, you are wrong. The first fine afternoon, your ladies must go to Prato."
"That lady looks so clever," whispered Miss Bartlett to her cousin. "We are in luck."
And indeed, a perfect torrent of information burst on them. People told them what to see, when to see it, how much the place would grow upon them. The Pensione Bertolini had decided, almost enthusiastically, that they would do. Whichever way they looked, kind ladies smiled and shouted at them. And above all rose the voice of the clever lady, crying,
"Prato! They must go to Prato! That place is too sweetly squalid for words. I love it. I revel in shaking off the trammels of respectability, as you know."
The young man named George glanced at the clever lady, and then returned moodily to his plate. Obviously, he and his father did not do. Lucy, in the midst of her success, found time to wish they did, and when she rose to go, she turned back and gave the two outsiders a nervous little bow. The father did not see it. The son acknowledged it, not by another bow, but by raising his eyebrows and smiling. He seemed to be smiling across something. She hastened after her cousin, who had already disappeared through the curtains. Beyond them stood the unreliable Signora, bowing good evening to her guests, and supported by
Henry, her little boy, and Victoria, her daughter.
The drawing-room attempted to rival the solid comfort of a Bloomsbury boarding-house. Was this really Italy? Miss Bartlett was already seated on a tightly stuffed armchair, which had the colour and the contours of a tomato. She was talking to Mr. Beebe.
"We are most grateful to you," she was saying. "When you arrived, we were in for a peculiarly mauvais quart d'heure."
He expressed his regret.
"Do you, by any chance, know the name of an old man who sat opposite us at dinner?"
"Emerson."
"Is he a friend of yours?"
"We are friendly, as one is in pensiones."
"Then I will say no more."
He pressed her very slightly, and she said more.
"I am, as it were," she concluded, "the chaperone of my young cousin Lucy, and it would be a serious thing if I put her under an obligation to people of whom we know nothing. His manner was somewhat unfortunate. I hope I acted for the best."
"You acted very naturally," said he. "All the same, I don't think much harm would have come of accepting."
"No harm, of course, but we could not be under an obligation."
"He is rather a peculiar man."
He hesitated, and then said gently,
"I think he would not take advantage of your acceptance, nor expect you to show gratitude. He has the merit of saying exactly what he means.
He has rooms he does not value, and he thinks you would value them. He no more thought of putting you under an obligation than he thought of being polite. It is so difficult, at least I find it difficult, to understand people who speak the truth." Lucy was pleased, and said, "I was hoping that he was nice." "I think he is. Nice and tiresome. He has no tact, and he will not keep his opinions to himself. We nearly complained about him to our depressing signora, but I'm glad to say we thought better of it."